Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
So this is what it's referring to, that Jesus was called his son, and he has an inheritance that's greater than any angel because he's a son. He's not a created being. He was the son. And then in verse 8 it says, But unto the son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's a quotation from Psalms chapter 45 and verse 6. And over there it says, God said, Thy throne, O God. Boy, there is so much in these verses. I don't want to get bogged down and so that I don't make my deal, but boy, that is awesome. If any of you have ever wondered about, you know, there's some people that challenge Jesus and say, well, he was a great man, but he wasn't God. This right here is an Old Testament scripture where God said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. God called Jesus God. I don't know how you get away from that. This is quite a statement about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. In verse 8, it was quoted, and God said, Thy throne, O God. God called the person that he was speaking about, Jesus, God. And then in verse 9, it says, Therefore God, even thy God. So God called God, God. You know what? You have to be just pretty set in your ways and close your eyes and bury your head in the sand to miss that Jesus was God. Amen. This is just pretty clear. And so he said, you've hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. You put that together with Colossians chapter 1, where it says, everything was created by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. And here it's saying that God did it. Again, it's another reference to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 11, They shall perish, talking about all of creation, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth the garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not. But to which of the angels said he in any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's a quotation from Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. All of these things are scriptures that are prophesying that Jesus is far superior to the angels. And that's the point that he's making. So it goes into chapter 2 and says, Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, talking about the Old Testament law, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken unto us by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? See, the point that he's making, the first chapter, is Jesus is superior to the angels, so therefore the covenant that he brought is superior to the covenant that angels brought. This is what Hebrews is doing. He's trying to come against the legalistic mentality, the people that were stuck under the Old Testament law and thought that you had to perform and live holy in order to be accepted with God. The writer of Hebrews is out to destroy that, and he starts off by saying, Jesus is superior to any angel, so therefore his covenant supersedes the covenant that angels brought in. And that's the point that he's making. And he goes on and just continues to say this over and over and over. Matter of fact, he starts quoting from Psalms chapter 8. And he quotes the verses there that says, When I consider the sun, the moon, the stars, and the works of thy hand, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you have visited him. You made him a little lower than the angels. That's the way it's translated in the King James. If you look that word up, the word is Elohim. This is Psalms chapter 82, verse 5. The word Elohim is the word for God. The word literally says, you made man a little lower than God. In other words, above angels. A little lower than God. And he goes on here in Hebrews and he says, well, we don't see man at this point functioning in that kind of anointing. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Again, talking about Elohim. And it's talking about that Jesus became a man. Like down here in verse 12, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus became a man so that he could redeem us, and that's what it's talking about. Jesus is superior to the angels, and when he became a man, he did it so that he could redeem us. Then in chapter 3, now this is radical. This is just, and again, you got to get in the mindset of the legalistic Jew of Paul's day, who believed that the law was it. And any statement against the law, you could be stoned to death. They were committed to the law. They measured how many steps they could walk on the Sabbath day. Did you know the people called the Essens, the people that raised John the Baptist? The people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you've ever heard of them, and hid them around the Dead Sea. This group was so legalistic that, and some of you are going to think I'm making this up, but I've read this studying about the Dead Sea Scroll. These people who copied out the Dead Sea Scrolls, these legalistic people that lived during the time of Jesus, thought that it was a violation of the Sabbath to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath. And they would not allow you to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath. It was punishable by death. It resembled work. That's how legalistic these people were. Man, the law was everything to them. And so here's what the writer of Hebrews begins to say in chapter 3. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Again, this is something that we just pass over and don't think much about it. But for the legalistic person to say Jesus was a high priest was blasphemy. He didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He wasn't qualified. This was sacrilege. This was terrible. The writer of Hebrews is saying things that I guarantee you during his day and time, this is the reason that they killed Christians. Radical statement. He's calling Jesus the high priest and apostle of our confession. And it says in verse 2, who is faithful unto him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. So he starts comparing Jesus to Moses. Now that would be offensive to a legalistic Jew who put Moses as the primo person who had ever represented God. But then look in the next verse. It says, for this man, speaking of Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. So he said Jesus is superior to the Old Testament law because the law was given by angels and Jesus is greater than any angel. That's a point that he had made in the first two chapters. Now he's saying Jesus is superior to Moses. Jesus is so much better than Moses that in comparison, Moses shouldn't even be honored or respected at all compared to how much glory should go to Jesus. Oh man, the legalistic Jew of this day was just upset to the max, ready to kill this person. And he goes on and starts talking about how that Jesus is greater than Moses. Man, there's not many people today who... And this isn't just talking about Jesus and Moses, but the covenant that they brought in. The covenant of Jesus is superior to the covenant of Moses. And if you try and honor both of them the same, that would be like trying to put Jesus and Moses in the same category. Jesus is the one who created Moses. Jesus is God. Jesus was Moses' Lord. It says that Moses saw the day of Jesus and rejoiced and was glad. The gospel was preached unto Moses. Moses even prophesied that God's going to raise you up a prophet who will be like unto me, and him you will hear. And you won't have to say who will ascend into heaven so that we can reach up to heaven, or who will ascend into the deep, but the word will be nigh you in your heart and in your mouth. And Paul quoted from that in Romans chapter 10 and said, that's the word of faith which we preach. Moses was inferior to Jesus. I think most of us would agree with that, but most Christians would say that his covenant isn't inferior to the new covenant. But it is. That's what this is talking about. There is a new and living way versus an old and dead way. And I know some of you don't like that, but I got a lot more to say. It's going to get worse. So chapter 4 is a... I just taught on chapter 4 in South Africa. It was great, but I'm going to skip over that. I'll come back to that later. In chapter 5, he picks up on this thought again that Jesus is now a high priest, which was very offensive to the people because the high priest had to come out of the tribe of Levi. And he ends up the 5th chapter and starts to say some things, and he says, there's a lot I want to say about Jesus being the high priest, but you're so dull of hearing, you're so hard-hearted, I can't say it. And so he takes chapter 6 and rebukes them. And chapter 6 is a rebuke about, man, grow up. Get on to some of the more important things. And then in chapter 7, he picks this up again about Jesus being a high priest. And the legalistic Jew, most of us aren't really into this, so some of you may not get the significance of it, but there was very strict restrictions on who could be a high priest. They had to be a Levite. They had to be specifically of the family of Aaron. And so there was very, very strict guidelines on who could be a high priest. Nobody just volunteered. You didn't apply. You had to basically be picked and groomed for it and birthed into this. And Jesus came from a different tribe, the tribe of Judah.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK153 titled The Law Has Power when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.